Okay, good afternoon. We had a break last week, so don't think back to 2 weeks ago. And we're really at a crossroads. We got to the end of the description of Shlomo, and I think it's been a little bit shocking what we've actually discovered. I remember the first time we went through the life of Shlomo, according to the Sefer Melachim, and it's probably why they don't teach it in Yeshiva, because it does become a little bit challenging the way he eventually doesn't let the side down. He lets himself down. Don't think he lets the side down, but he certainly lets himself down in so many ways. And what we did last time, if you remember, we got a little bit of a taste of Yeravam, which I want to come back to, because Yeravam is going to be very perplexing, to put it mildly. We're moving into a new situation, a situation which is fraught with horrible overtones, the overtones of Jews not getting on with each other, of country dividing into two countries, and I seem to remember there was a TV show, or there was a, I don't know if it actually ever aired on TV, but I saw, must have seen it on an El Al flight, because they were previewing Israeli TV, and it was a show about where a group, I think it was around B'nai Brak, they set up UDI, they've made themselves into an independent state around the areas of B'nai Brak and Me'er Sha'arim and Yerushalayim. And it got to the point where there were even barriers. Right out of the Book of Kings, Yeravam made barriers going from one part of Israel to the other part. And here we are in the 21st century. People are imagining that maybe that could happen here, God forbid. It was a very, I don't know if the show ever aired, but it was certainly something should make people sit up. And obviously what happened up to October 6th is, again, something I really don't want to revisit. Hopefully we won't go back to that. Let's pray. In the meantime, as I always have done and always will do, at this point I think we need to dedicate our learning in honor of the soldiers and the Chatufim, and we're really, I don't know about you, but it's being, the nerves are being really stretched at the moment, and let's pray that, you know, that we can do the right thing, and that the other guys will hopefully do something towards the right thing, even though it doesn't really exist in their world to do the right thing, but let's pray that we can see the people back home soon. What we're going to do today, two things. We're going to go through chapter 12. 12 is the real, it's the most shocking chapter, and it's the most frightening scenario in the world, in the Jewish world, probably from then till 1948 of our era, when we came together as one nation in Eretz Yisrael. We sort of patched up what's going to happen here in chapter 12 of Melachim Aleph. And that's pretty frightening. Because once the split, as you well know, once the split takes place, this is not going to be healed. There is one suggestion that during King Asa, which is two kings... Is someone still there? Yeah. Two kings down the line, King Asa, there is a suggestion that maybe the two countries, the north of Israel and Judea, could have come together. But we'll see, the Radak talked about that and it never happened. Before we get into Perek Yud Bet, I just want to remind you about what happened with Yeravam. Yeravam is this guy who he criticized Shlomo. He was upset. He was an Eved, essentially. He was working in that palace. Obviously a very bright guy, somebody that people took notice of him. And he was really upset that Shlomo had dedicated this whole space in Yerushalayim for his Egyptian wife, the Bat Paro, and had taken away that particular space for people to come on Aliyah L'Regel. When they would come to Yerushalayim, they always had somewhere to go. They could bring their tents, they could pitch a tent, and they had a big, big space there. And all of this was cordoned off, and there was a whole discussion about it, and Yeravam was very upset. And he got to the point where he was so critical of the king that he had to run away. And we know that he ran to Mitzrayim, and he stayed in Egypt. He was down there for a period of time. Obviously, people knew about him, and as you will see in the beginning of chapter 12, they bring him back. It reminds you of what happened with real leaders of countries that have to run away. Sometimes they're brought back in honor, and sometimes not so much. But in this case, we'll see what happened. The other thing to remember is Achia Shiloni, the famous the interaction between the prophet Achia and Yeravam. They split the cloak into 12 parts, and symbolically, Yeravam took 10 of those strips of cloth or whatever they were, and it was a sign to Yeravam that you're going to get 10 tribes. This is going to be the future that you're going to control. There was no suggestion at that point of the country necessarily splitting into two parts, but I'm assuming that once he would control 10 parts and the dynasty of David would be in control of the other two parts, then by definition there would have to be two countries or two areas. We'll have to see. So all of this seems to have been predicted to a certain extent. And one can always argue that, you know, when, even though there is a Nevuah or something in line, man has free choice, and, you know, maybe it would have worked out differently. Who knows? Maybe Yeravam and Rechavam could have made some sort of deal and worked together, but that really was not going to happen. Alright, so what I want to do is look at chapter 12. We're going to get through this chapter today, and I want to talk a little bit about Yeravam and try and understand how this guy really, how his mind works, because it's a big challenge. Alright, hold on to your hats, as they say. Pasuk Aleph, chapter 12. Yelech Rechavam Shechem. So Shlomo is dead. Rechavam, the oldest son, who is now 41 years old, so he's taking over much later stage in his life than Shlomo did. And he goes to Shechem. So the obvious question is, if they're going to do something to make a king, as you see, the apostle said, Ki Shechem ba kol Yisrael hamlich oto, they're going to make him into a king, why not go? The obvious place would be Shalim, right? Not Shechem. So why are they going to Shechem? So this is a very, very interesting side issue, but it is sort of very significant. This is a plan. There is a planned coup which is about to take place. And the only way you can do this is not by having the coronation in Jerusalem, but by going to another place which was of great significance, Shechem, also the center of the territory of Ephraim, which is the tribe of... I'm not sure if someone is asking me a question. They're having a conversation. Yeah, okay. Okay. This was not going to be your Sug Aleph coronation. This was going to be a very cheap version of the thing. But it really wasn't going to be a coronation per se. It was going to be appointing the new leader, right? But not in the dynastic sense, but in the breakaway sense. This is your ultimate breakaway shul. This is really happening. But it's more than a shul. Listen to it. We'll come back to this in a second because the Barbanah talks about it, which also I sent out if we can get to it. Pasuk Bet. I'm just going to go through Pesukim because you've got to get a feel of what's going on. Pasuk Bet. Now Yeravam has his ear to the ground. He's hearing from Egypt the rumblings that are going on in Israel. For who are Danu ben Mitzrayim? We'll see. Still in Egypt. Asher Barachim Nei Shlomo Amalek, because he ran away because of Shlomo. But as he criticized the king, and he dwelt in Egypt. He was biding his time. He was waiting for the call to come back, and now the call has come. It's a frightening story, this. He came with a whole group of Jews, and they confronted Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. Rechavam's mother is an Ammonite convert. So there's never going to be, you know, the obvious success in terms of a nice Jewish boy. This is always going to be a son of one of the wives that Shlomo married. In this case, the wife of the son of Naamah, I think his mother's name is. We're going to see his name soon. Listen to this. And here comes a bombshell. Posik Dada. Avicha hikshad uleinu. They're complaining. Jews like to complain. What happened was that Shlomo had made the burden very, very heavy. Back to what we read all the way through story of Shlomo, where we didn't see much complaint at the time, but there were rumblings, one has to assume. They had to send people to go to work. They conscription. They had to send food. All of this is now going to come back and become serious. Listen to this. We want you to give us a break. Right? We want a tax break. Good thing for people to do in power. Take off the burden. And you'll see in a minute, we get to it. As I said, the Barbana explains this very clearly. But hold on for the moment for the psukim. So what did Rechavam do? And you can tell already that he's not as smart as his father. Right? He really should have made an immediate response, and he didn't. L'chu od shlosha yomim v'shuv elai. Wait 3 days. Right? You know, that reminds me of that horrible story, which I'm always reminded of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rav Amram. Whether it really happened or not is a whole debate in the academic world, but the famous story of Nesana Togen. Right? He waited 3 days, and then when they came back, he realized that he shouldn't have waited 3 days to make a decision, is he going to convert? And he was terribly tortured and punished, and eventually died. Came back in a dream, and that's how we get the son of Toker. So this idea of waiting 3 days is really not a good precedent. But Yelchuah, but the people went away? Yeah, okay, 3 days. Now, here comes something very interesting. He's got two sets of people to speak to. He's got the guys that he used to hang out with in the 10th grade. Right? Interesting. And he's got a whole bunch of long-bearded gentlemen sitting probably in the Sanhedrin or whatever. And Rechavam has a dilemma. Who is he going to listen to? So interesting. Pasuk Vav, and the answer is probably not going to be what you think. So he went to the elders who were standing at Pnei Shlomo Aviv, used to stand before Shlomo, while Shlomo was still alive, and he's to say, Eich atem noatzim, what are you going to tell me? What are you going to advise me to do? So, and look, it's written, says one voice. They came at it with one voice. Leimor, im hayom tiye eved la'am hazeh v'avadatam. If you're going to sort of, you know, take, let's say, your ego, put it in a limited space, as it were, and become a servant, you know, for the people. And you'll respond in a good way. You'll give them a break. If you're good to them, they'll be good to you. Seems quite obvious. What did he do? No, this is not what he wanted to hear. I love that word. Yeladim means children, right? And we're not talking about, you know, third grade. We're talking here about people that, presumably, he's 41, he's got friends in the 30s and 40s who he probably used to hang out with. And he's gone to them. And they see the world differently, different generation. Asher gadlu ito, they grew up with him. Asher amdim lefanav, who are now also hanging out in the palace. What's going on? Tet. Vayomar alem. Matem noatzim. So you guys, what do you say? V'noshiv davar et ha'am hazeh. We're going to give a reply to what the people want. In other words, should we give them a break from all the burden or not? And not vayidaber. So interesting. This is in the plural. So again, the suggestion is it's a number of voices, but maybe not all in agreement, but they sort of sounded as if they were agreeing to each other. People who grew up in them, what did they say? Leimor. They spoke to you, Dibra is always a loshon kasha, kasher, harsh. They spoke to you harshly. They complained that your father, Shlomo, made such a burden. You want Rechavam, the new king, to make the burden less. You speak harshly to them. Again, Dibur. My little finger is thicker than my father's one. In other words, you want to mess with me, then you're going to be in trouble. That's basically, it's a metaphor here. And my father made it bad for you, I'm going to make it worse. How not to read the audience? Unbelievable. If he hits you with whips, I'm going to hit you with scorpions. Not only am I going to hit you, make it hurt, but you're going to get stung as well. right, an extra sting, which is the scorpion. Unbelievable. And Rehavam is now faced with it. Who does he listen to? He listens to the voice of experience, or do he listen to the voice of youth? Right, you know, the Arab Spring and all that stuff, which, if you remember, what was going on there, whatever that was. Yud bet. They all came back with Yeravam. Now remember, Yeravam is smart, because he's now in Shechem, and in Shechem he's safe, because he's got the people around him. Remember, he's still basically considered a rebel. So if he went, maybe if he'd come to Yerushalayim, he wouldn't have survived the experience. But he's in Shechem, he's surrounded by his people, so Rehavam can't do very much to him. And he's come back, when he was told to come back on the third day, and he gives an answer which is unbelievable. Harsh. And he refused to listen to the Zakenim. There's a whole statement in the Gemara that the device of the Zakenim builds and the advice of the Ladim Soter destroys. I think there's a Gemara like that, if I'm not mistaken. And again, harshly, and he repeats what he was told by the young guys. My father made your burden heavy, I'm going to make it worse. And he even quotes them, right? You know, to the point where he shows such a terrible lack of judgment. I'm going to hit you with sticks, or my father hit you with sticks, while I'm going to hit you with scorpions. He just doesn't get it, this guy. Unbelievable, you know, I mean, it's not going to be passed on, Chochmah, but something must have rubbed off, but obviously not. And he just did not listen. Now, this is the Novi Yirmiyahu giving an overview, right? You know, my favorite art scroll word, the overview. And he's saying that really this was all designed from God, the man on Kimet Dvaro, to fulfill the word, Asher Dibar Hashem B'Yalechiel Ashloni, going back to that whole story with the prophet Achiah, El Yeravam Menavad, towards Yeravam. So at this point, the feeling is that if Yeravam takes over, it's not a tragedy at this point. Assuming that we know what Yeravam is all about, this is going to be the challenge. Pasuk Tetzvah, I'm just running through the Sukkim because it really gets shocking. At this point, the Jews saw that Rehavam wasn't listening. They sent back a message. Ma, and this is so frightening. Ma lanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachla b'ben Yishai. Right? Basically, we don't want anything to do with your dynasty. We don't want to have anything to do with David or Ben Yishai. In other words, whichever way you look at it, we want out. Lo alecha Yisroel, go back home, Israel, to your tents. Atah re'ei beitcha David. Now see, you know, your house, David, what is it going to be? In other words, what's going to be the future for you? Vayelech Yisroel lo alav. And again, in the singular, they all went home as one body. They disappeared, they checked out. And Rehavam is left on his, basically, with his few people around him. Everybody has rejected him. Must have been devastating. Yud Zayin. B'nei Yisrael, Yoshim Bari Yudah, Vayimloch Alem Rehavam. In the meantime, whoever's left makes Rehavam, the son of Shlomo, into the king. But, and here comes the biggest mistake. What do you not do to enforce your authority at this point? If you are Rehavam, you don't send the guy from the IRS to start collecting taxes. Not a good idea. And it's exactly what he did. Yudche, Vayishlach HaMelech Rehavam et Adoram. Some say it's the same guy we had before, Adoniram. It's Adoram is sent by Rehavam, Ashal Amas, the IRS guy. Vayirgamu Kol Yisrael Bo Even Vayamob. Nebuch, he got killed by the mob. Right? You know, you just don't do that. You can't force the issue here. The people are against you. Vamelech Rehavam itametz la'alot merkavan. Rehavam sees that his own personal space is being invaded, he's in danger, he gets onto the chariot. Lonos Yerushalayim, he's out of there, he's running back to Jerusalem. Shechem to Yerushalayim, not so near. He's obviously running for his life. Yutet, Vayivshu Yisrael b'Beit David ad Yom Hazeh. Of course, again, Jeremiah is saying that this was it, the rejection of the house of David. And you wonder, it's not the reject. I mean, the way they said it, that they rejected Malon and Nachla, but David Ben Yishai, it's so dramatic, it's so painful, right? Because David HaMelech was like the the standard of Kedusha, you know, everything that we've said about David, and we compared him to Shlomo, but whichever way it is, it's just so painful, this story. And look what happened, Pasuk Chav, Vayhi Kishma Kol Yisrael Kishav Yeravam. Now they saw Yeravam is back. Vayishchu Vayikru Oto Lo Eidah, they call him to the gathering. Vayamlichu Oto Kol Yisrael, what sort of ceremony, we're not really told. Some sort of coronation. Lo Aya Acharei Beit David Zulati Shevet Yehuda V'Adon. Who was left to follow David? The line of David was the tribe of Yehuda, which they say is a combination, is essentially Yehuda and Binyamin, essentially. Pasuk Kavala, Vayavor Rechavam. At that point, Rechavam comes to Yerushalayim. Vayagel et kol Beit Yehuda et Shevet Binyamin. He brings who's left, the Yehuda and Binyamin. Me'ar Shmoni Melech Bachur, Osei Milchama. He's not standing any nonsense. He immediately drums up an army. This is how frightening it gets. 180,000 Jews, right? I don't know what the Tzahal, we'll be talking about 300,000 to call up. So here already, you're talking about, no, 180,000, just on one side. And he's ready to go to war, Rechavam. Nilachem in Beit Yisrael, he's going to fight with the northern kingdom. Lashivet ha-melucha, Rechavam ben Shalom, to bring back the melucha. At this point, there's another intervention by Hashem through the Navi. This is a temporary stay, because if we're going to read Mitz Hashem, another chapter or two, the civil war did take place, with tragic consequence. Kavbet, Vayihi Devar Elokim al Shmaya Ish Elokim. This guy Shmaya, never heard of, and we'll never hear of again, I think. This is his 15 minutes. He comes, man of God, Lemor, to say, Emor Rechavam Ben Shlomo. Give a message to Rechavam. Melech Yudah, V'kol Beit Yudah Ben Yomin, Yetam Lemor, and everybody else is with him, and give them the following message. Kaf Dalet. Ko Amar Hashem, Lo Ta'alu, do not go up, V'lo Tilachamun, do not fight, Im Achechem B'nei Yisroel, with your brothers B'nei Yisroel. In other words, at this point in time, do not go to war. Unbelievable. He has to say that? He has to get a message like that? How frightening. We were reading about Shlomo, the 40 years of peace and quiet, and that's literally not even a chapter before we come to this unbelievable situation. And he says, Shuvu ish lebeito, the message was, go home. Ki meitini yadavar zed. The message from the Novi via Hashem is that really this was what was meant to be, and one assumes not with the prospect of a civil war thrown in. Vayishma devar Hashem, v'yoshuvu lalechet devar Hashem, and they went back. They listened. So this is, I suppose, the merit of the Jewish people at this time, that war did not happen, but they were ready. Pasuk Kavhei, I'm just going to finish the chapter. A few issues at the end of the chapter, which I'm not going to deal with today, but I want to do a little bit more on Yeravam, because he's very challenging. Pasuk Kavhei, Vayiven Yeravam et Shechem, Bahar Ephraim, Vayishav. He's got to have a capital city. So his capital city was Shechem. Very scary. Shechem has never been a happy place for us. Going right back in Jewish history, the Mefarshim say why Shechem was chosen here, because, you know, it's never been a comfortable place. I was in the army in 85 and I was on Konanut, first Shabbat in the army, in case there was a riot in Shechem. We were in a basis, which was probably about 20 minutes from Shechem. And it wasn't very comfortable. I have to say that Shabbat was not one of my favorite memories, because had there been a riot, I had no clue what I was going to do. But we were there on Konanut, and Shechem was always that place. In Nebuch, there was a rabbi from New York, I think, was killed there, trying to save a Sefer Torah in Kever Yosef, if you remember the story, Lieberman. This must be 20 years ago, and it's never been, it's just got that history, it's got that negativity there, I don't know. But here you see that Yeravam makes it into a capital city, and it builds another city, Penuel, nearby. You know that he's beginning to build the kingdom. At this point, we go into the heart. This is why I want to deal with this page that I sent out, just to show you a little bit more what's going on here. He says in his heart, he said, all right, I'm happening, but for how long? Maybe people will get, you know, sort of, they'll wake up one day and say, wait a minute, what have we just done? We rejected the house of David. How can we do that? So Yeravam says, I've got to do something to make my situation permanent. And if the people start going back to Jerusalem, like the Jews love to do, schlepping up to Yerushalayim, they'll go back to Rechavam, I'll have no chance. Varguni. And not only that, I'll be considered a rebel, and they'll kill me. Veshava Rechavam, Melech Yehuda, and they're back with Rechavam. So what did he decide to do? And here comes the real bombshell. Kavchet, Vayiva'at HaMelech. He took advice, in contrast to what Rechavam did. We go to one group and another group, and they took the wrong advice. This guy knows exactly who to speak to. Vayash Nei Eglei Zahav. We just read about the Eglei Zahav last week. He not only one, he makes two, right? It steps up. He has two golden calves. This is something we're going to deal with next week. Vayomer Aleim Rav Lachem Elod Yerushalayim, and he made a prohibition. Enough, no more Jerusalem. Hincha Hinei Elohech, and he uses the pasuk from Parsha Ki Tisa. He says, "This is your God of Israel, She'eluchem Eretz Mitzrayim." You know, as he quotes from the original para, the Egel HaZahav. And of course, the question is, what's really going on? There is a Malbim on this, which next week, message. I'm not going to tell you now. If you have a chance to look at it, it is truly remarkable. The Malbim, about 150 years ago. Where he got his information from, I don't know. He must have gone to a library. No way he would have known what he knew without going to the local library, I'm pretty sure of it. Somewhere in Bucharest or wherever he was the chief rabbi. But we'll see that in the next time. Kavtet, we're just going to finish the chapter. He made two agalim, unbelievable. Vayosem et echa bebetel, et echa natan bedam. One right up the north, Dan, somewhere, Banyas, or somewhere up there. And for the other one in Betel, in the middle of the country. Amazing. And this was for the people from the north to come south, the people from the south to go north. As long as you're traveling, Aliyah Leregel, it doesn't really matter where you're going. His attitude was, Jews like to get in, you know, to get in the car and go. Pasuk Lamed, Vayehi Adavar Hazeh Lechatan, immediate, what's the word? It's this again is Yirmiyahu saying this was something which was a terrible sin. Vayelcham Lifnei HaEchad Adam. And in fact, what people did is the ones who were meant to be around Dan, they traveled down, and the people from the middle of the country would travel up to Dan. In other words, there was more traveling going on than even he predicted. But seemingly that struck a chord. Vayas et Beit Bamot, and then he starts making a house of Bamot, which are altars or whatever. Vayas Kohanim et Tzata Am, and he starts revising the priesthood. Asher lo yud menei Levi. Yeravam has got one very simple goal in his life. He wants to make, I've forgotten how I call this. When I was teaching this in YU, I think the expression I sort of adopted, he's making a parallel universe of Judaism. A parallel Jewish universe. What he wants is, he doesn't want to disconnect from Jewish practice. He doesn't want the people to leave it behind. He just wants to slightly alter the focus. So instead of having Jerusalem, you have Betel or Dan. Instead of having, you'll see what he does now, instead of having Sukkot in Tishrei, you're going to have Sukkot, but you're going to have it in Cheshvan. Not very good, because it already gets a little bit cold. Especially if you're in Chutz Lo'aretz, then you're really in trouble. But this is what's going on. Lamed Bet. Vayas Yeravam Chag B'Chodesh HaShmini. He decided to make the festival of Sukkot in the 8th month, in Cheshvan. B'Chemisha Asayon L'Chodesh, on the 15th of the month. Same dates, but different month. Kechag HaShem Yehudah, to parallel the Chag in Yehuda. Vayala Mizbeya, and he basically wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Right, that's what he wanted to do. And it's interesting, because there's a whole issue with Moshe Rabbeinu, until he was told not to be the Kohen Gadol, he also wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Right, so there's kind of a bit of a parallel here, which is fascinating. But Moshe stepped down, obviously. Yeravam, not so much, as you'll see in the next chapter. Look what happened. Vayala Mizbeh, Kein Asa B'Bet El, Lezabech, La'agalim, Sheh'asan. He started doing sacrifices. It all got idolatrous very quickly. Ve'emid B'Bet El, Konei B'Amot, Sheh'asan. He made a whole new priesthood over there. Vayala, I'm just going to finish the chapter. And then he went on to that altar. And he did the korbanot, but on the month of Cheshvan, right? That he, and we read in Milibo that he invented this. He starts behaving like the Kohen Gadol. We are very challenged with Yeravam. Yeravam at the beginning, I mean, he had this Nevuah from Hashem via the prophet. He's meant to be a good guy. And yet, what do we see over here? That once he's given the control, he's out of control. He's not completely crazy, by the way. He's doing something. He knows that we like tradition. He just tries to refocus. I mean, to me, it's a little bit of this sort of reform mentality from the 1800s, where you keep the tradition, but you just, you know, you sort of recreate it in your own image, as opposed to the image it's meant to be in. You revamp it, and I guess that's a way one can explain it. But it's a little bit more than that, and that's why I sent out this page about Yerevan. I want to go to the page very quickly and just share it with you because this is fascinating. We have got an issue trying to understand Yerevan: good guy or not good guy. Obviously, he's not a good guy, but he starts off being a good guy, and there'll be a story next chapter where he's in trouble. And he says to the Navi, pray to God, Hashem, to get me out of trouble. But here you are, Yerevan, and you're serving idolatry. You make up your mind, Yerevan. Who are you? What sort of Jew are you? And this is the big, big challenge. What is he really all about? This is taken from a Sefer Sigur Siach. I mentioned it before, from a Rav from Antwerp, of all places. Interesting. Golovinch is his name. I don't know him, but he writes something very nice. So look at Section A very briefly, and then I want to just look at section. One second, has he got it here? Yeah, section C. But look at section A, just to present the problem. Yerevan seems to have had good quality. Alamayas. Ubichlalam, Shayalo et ha'oz, Limchot, the Shem Shomai, Bishlomo Amale. He could even go against Shlomo, he had the strength to do it. He stopped the people coming up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah Lerego because he gave away the space to Bat Paro. Umitzad Sheini, on the other hand, if you go a bit further, like we did today, Kasher Kvodo Ishi Nifgam, Hu Ha'ish Asar Kolim Noah, Mishivtei Yisrael Alot Lerego Yerushalayim. He stops the people going to Jerusalem. Wow! But I don't know if anyone would even dream of stopping that today. And starts doing sacrifices outside the temple. Once it goes bad, it goes completely bad. So make up your mind. Who is, you know, will the real Yerevan please stand up? And that's the problem. But I am the Sikha Muslim. He brings beautiful analysis here from Chaim Shmulevitz, who I never knew personally. I used to go to camp in the Catskills. It was an elder hostel. And a lady, a lady from Brooklyn, sort of was talking to us. She said, have you ever met my brother? Did you ever meet my brother? I said, who was your brother? So she says, Chaim Shmulevitz. I said, you mean Reb Chaim Shmulevitz? They said, yeah. I said, the Rosh Yeshiva Mir. I said, yes. She said, that's the one. I said, and she's standing there. I said, did I ever meet? I said, no, I hadn't met him, but I definitely heard of him. A very significant rabbi of the, died in, I think, in 74, 73, around that time in the Mir in Yerushalayim. Very, very special man. Had been in Shanghai, and you've got to read about him. It's really something you meet. So he writes in the Sefer Kor in the Ma'amarim of, it's called Sichot Musar, but it's really Sichot, his talks on the parsha. And he writes the following: Gon Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the sixth line, Shechir bebiyur tofa'a shematzano sha'or v'achoshech mishamshim ba'arvuvia v'nafsho shel adam. A man can have the greatest light and the greatest darkness in the same soul of that person. Unbelievable. He brings examples. And a person can be a man of great light, Yerevan on the one hand, but he's got darkness in the same neshama, and he doesn't get rid of it, he doesn't push it out. This is, I want to call it a sort of spiritual, psychological analysis of Yerevan. He's a man of conflicting spiritual dimensions. He's got the or, and he's got the choshech, and it's mixing. This produces all of these contradictions in a person's behavior. I'm looking at the time and I just must get to this statement, which I want to show you because it sums it all up. Just one second, let me just see if it's on the page. It is on the page here. The story of Yerevan going to Gan Eden. This was something extraordinary. And I thought it was on the page. Let me just see one second. Yeah, it's section C. Od Rayona. I've got to show you this because this is unbelievable. This sums up Yeravam. In the end of the day, with this Or V'choshech concept, how do we really understand Yeravam? Where does this weakness come from that he had? Od Rayon Nifla Koteva Reb Chaim. Go on, Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sefer that we mentioned before. Zelashon of section C. Listen to this. Itab Sanhedrin. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Some of you may have heard of this. Tafsa Kodesh Baruch Hu Yeravam V'bigdo. God grabbed the beged, the coat or the cloak of Yeravam. Amar lo, chazor b'cha, Yeravam, do tshuva. V'ani ve'atav ben Yishai netayel v'gan Eden. I'm going to walk in the Garden of Eden with you and with David. Wow, not a bad offer. Amar lo, what did Yeravam say? Mi barosh. Who goes first? This is so interesting. Amalo ben Yishai. What a course David goes for. You're Avam, you know, you've got to realize that, you know, you're not David HaMelech. Amalo. So your Avam said, Ihachi lo ba'ina. I'm not coming. I don't want that. I want to go first. You know, his ego was out of control. Because Tavam said it Yisharim, and of course he brings from the Musa Svarim, Sheyetza kavod sholeit ala adam yoter. He's doing it for the cover, right? The famous story, the guy comes to the shtetl, he wants to see the president of the shul, meets the first guy, he asks, where does the president of the shul live? Oh, that lowlife lives on the big house on the top of the hill. And another guy, same answer, so he goes to the house on the top of the hill, and he knocks on the door, and he says, you're the president of the shul? And the president says, yes. He says, why do you do this job? He says, I do it for the cover. Think about it. Unfortunately, it's a true story. And this is the Yeravam. He's doing his. He's got a covered streak, and he says, "Just read a little bit more." V'yachol adam lichvosh et yitzro al hamamon v'shanaon. A person can control if he wants more possessions or he's got a desire for more money, whatever. Aval yikshel alav ma'od v'vatel kvodo. He can't be mevater to forgo his honor. That's the American elections at the moment. I think that's really the bottom line of it. Ki eich yisbol yire et atzmo pachot mezulaton. I can't be less than the other guy. Ve'azot nichshalu rabim v'noftam. People, unfortunately, fail in that area. Kamo says the Mesilat Yesharim, Rebchal, Yeravam ben Nevat. This is the problem with Yeravam. Shelo nitrad me'olam haba. Elo ba'avor kavod. Why does he lose the world to come? Because of his own cover. Can't give it up. Va'ein sham misaper dugma'ot shevi lekach, and the other examples that he brings in the same line. What a story. He's walking with God. He's going into Gan Eden. And Hashem says, you know, come, do tshuva, you'll come with us. You'll be with David HaMelech, for goodness sake. And he says, if I can't go first, I'm not coming. That kind of says it all. Unbelievable. Just the last few lines at the bottom here, and he says, as a consequence of last four lines, Alkei Sha'al Mi Barosh, that's why Yeravam says who goes first. Vayidei Sheila Zon Nitkaten Yeravam. That made him diminish in stature. Ki Rodevach HaKavod, when you start running after Kavod, HaKavod Baref Mimenu, the honor runs away from you. That David will go first. That's when Yeravam completely lost his mind. I don't want to go. He'd rather go to the depths of down there, as it were, to hell, to Gehinnom, lirot et atzmo pachot nezulato, rather than diminishing his own glory. Unbelievable. Bottom line is, Yeravam is very complex. I mean, I'm not going to do the Musa thing, because I don't do the Musa thing, so I let you to think about the consequences of this. But, what an unbelievable story. And the bottom line of this, how scary it is, how easy it was to get to the point where he's gone, the country is split, and you've got 180,000 people waiting to line up to have a battle. Amazing. And if you find for next week, what I'd ask you to do is read chapter 13, because it's the wildest story in the whole of the Bible if you had never read it before. So look at that perek again. We'll try and get through the perek a little bit and ask ourselves again the very fundamental questions of what really is going on there, and with a bit of bulking out from Sefer Divrei Yomim, we'll see what really was going on in the background. Although the Pasuk tells us here that the civil war was averted, it didn't take very long for Nebuch, Jews to fight Jews. And the message is very clear, the message is very strong. We've got to be super careful when it comes to our interpersonal relationships. I don't want to say any more than that. Just to say, I remember hearing Chaim Herzog, the father of the current president, in 1982, when he was president of Israel, said, "We'll make peace with the Arabs." He says, "That will come eventually, and then the work begins to make peace amongst ourselves." And that he said 40 years ago, and wow, maybe a bit of the view in the process. Thank you very much.
Who was he thinking he was sacrificing sacrifices to?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Avodah Zarah.
Could it have been to Hashem, or?
No, absolutely not. We're going to talk about Avodah Zarah, because that's one of the issues.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Avodah Zarah has got a very bad press, and it really was based on a lot more logic than we realized. So we're going to come to that next time. Great story. I hope so.